It is now 7 o'clock, so I will now call this regular session of council to order this day, Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. Roll call, please.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Terry Meek.
Here.
Greg McMaster.
Here.
Chris Shea.
Here. Would you please stand and join me in the Lord's Prayer? Remain standing for the pledge. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, good evening again, everybody. I hear that the sun is shining somewhere in the world and it's dry, but it's not here. So, next on the agenda is approval of the minutes from April 21st, 2026 regular session. Any comments or corrections? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
And none for myself. May I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mrs. Meek, second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye.
Councilman McMaster.
Abstain.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
The minutes have been approved as presented. Any pending old business? Mrs. Meek.
I have none.
Mr. Browning.
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. Any visitors that wish to address council this evening? If so, please come up here to the podium, state your name and topic.
Thank you. I'm Judge Welke. I am the judge for Clyde and from Woodville. And I have some updates to give you guys on what's happening in court. In January of this year, we finally got security. Unfortunately, it's only for the days that we have court, but not the days that court isn't in session. So Mondays and Fridays, we don't have any security. But Tuesdays and Thursdays in Clyde, we have a security. And then on Wednesdays in Bellevue, I'm sorry, Wednesdays in Woodville, we have security. So coming up, we have security. Just hired a full-time magistrate. I'm sorry, he's part-time. He's 32 hours a week. A magistrate. It seems as if the Supreme Court is having our judges be a little bit more administrative than hands-on. So just to get some extra help, we've hired him to fill in the space. His name is Josh Clark. And then what I really came to tell you about is our Hope Court. It is our specialized docket, and Stacy Dickman, who is our court administrator, is going to hand out papers. Some information regarding that. And it is a specialized docket. It has two tracks, a drug track and an alcohol track. We meet once a week, and there's four phases. Phase one is once a week. Phase two is every other week. Phase three, your time just keeps going further and further before you have to report. Some of the things that you can't be, you cannot be a violent offender in our Hope Court. You have to be in treatment. You have to meet certain criteria to be in it, but what will exclude you is a violent offender. And then phase four is graduation. We do have a graduation on January 2nd, and we have a speaker. Our Hope Court meets every Tuesday at 10:30. We'd love anybody who wants to come and watch our Hope Court. We're open to if you'd like to come and watch and see what happens. Lots of good things happen. Sometimes not so good. Sometimes they need a timeout because they just don't want to stay away from the drugs. But then they get taken in custody that day if they are positive. So it's an immediate sanction at that time. Any questions about our Hope Court?
Is this a new program? How long has this program
Judge
been going?
Judge Colasar had it when he started or before he resigned, and then it kind of went on the wayside for a little bit because Judge Fizer just couldn't do both courts plus the whole court, and then I started it back. And we can take up to 25 people in it. Right now we have 13. We've got three on deck ready to have their assessments and come in. But we're getting up there, so it's not new per se, but we've kind of changed it all the way around from when Judge Colasar had it.
And your overall assessment of the success or not based on your experience with it?
I've been doing it for a year and a half. As of right now, I've not ever had to kick anybody out. We've extended their time to help them get more sobriety underneath their belt, but we've not kicked anybody out.
Okay.
As of this point, we're seeing the successes, but again, we still have our failures, but we're working through those.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for me. Any questions?
Any other questions?
Counsel?
All right. Next on the agenda is we have Jim Wahlberg. He is Marky Mark and Donnie Wahlberg's brother. He's one of nine children. He's coming to Clyde High School to speak as a specialized docket month, which is in May. So he's coming to Clyde High School on May 20th to speak. He was a full-blown alcoholic at age 8 and a drug addict by 12. First time he went to prison was at age 17, and then by 22 he committed a crime that was a life sentence. However, he was fortunate enough, it was a police officer in which he had the armed robbery in, and the officer went to bat for him to commute a sentence to away from life. While he was in prison the second time, he met Mother Teresa, in which at that time he became very religious and redeemed himself and has been on the road to recovery ever since. And he is speaking to us and to the community. It is a free event. We would really like as many people to show up that night as possible. And he will also have a book signing because he wrote a book called The Big Hustle. The second time he went to prison, he went in to think, I'm just going to hustle everybody. I'm going to fake it till I make it, get, you know, cigarettes, get extra yard time, do whatever I need to do just to get in and hopefully get out early. But he was assigned to a church, and the priest put the hustle on him to redeem him. So that's basically the gist of his book. So he will do a book signing that night as well, too. And he also runs Marky Mark's Youth Foundation. So, and then next year, May 2nd, in Gibsonburg, Maurice Clarette will be speaking. So, and Gibsonburg promises me they'll fill a gym if it's anybody from Ohio State. So, we'll see.
All right.
Any questions about Mr. Wahlberg?
Any questions,
no?
Comments?
We have lots of stuff here.
The next is our Sandusky County County Courts that we're hosting an event called Turn the Page. From January 1st of 2020 to January 1st of 2026, there are over 800 active warrants and active warrant blocks in place. We need to clear those up, get them off our docket. June 15th, anybody that has a warrant or a warrant block can show up to the Woodville Court, and we will take care of it that day. Because, like I said, I have over 800, and it's not just my court. Fremont Muni has a lot. Bellevue has a lot. Other courts have a lot, but we've got so many that our Supreme Court has come up with an amnesty program, if you will, to show up. We'll get your warrant taken care of, and if we can get them done that day, we will. Depending on the nature of the case or the nature of the warrant, we may have to reset it for another pretrial, but we won't arrest them that day. We will work with them. Since they showed up, we'll try to get it taken care of. So any questions about this one?
Hey, Judge, have you done this before?
I have not. Sylvania Municipal Court did theirs March 25th. They had over 500 people show up, but the problem with that, 400 out of those were Toledo Municipal Court. They don't share jurisdiction. So I have checked with Judge Brudinski and Judge Klaus. If I have anybody showing up thinking that they're going to get your warrants taken care of, will you honor that? Both of them said absolutely they would.
Gotcha. So, thank you.
But no, we've not done this. So we're going to...
New territory.
It is definitely new territory. We're hoping, you know, I've got defense attorneys there. Prosecutor's going to be there. Clerks are going to be there. We'll have everybody there to try to get it all done and taken care of.
All right, great. Thank you.
And
100 cases is quite ambitious. I wish you well.
You know what? I'm hoping for 50.
Yeah.
You know, I'm setting the bar really low because this is our first time.
Sure.
And, you know, and we all know Woodville. I think our problem is most of my warrants in Woodville are out of state because of the turnpike, because of Route 20 and all of that. I'm not going to hold out a lot of hope that we'll get a lot of those, but we still have some in the area that we just can't seem to catch.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll see it and show up.
Hopefully. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Last but not least is Save the Date. September 18th, we are hosting a golf outing, and it's called Four Recovery, if you will. It's a golf scramble. We're holding it at Sycamore Hills, 10 o'clock on the 18th, and it's $60 a person. That covers your food and your fees and stuff like that. So, and it goes to our Hope Court to help with some of our costs and stuff like that that we have for speakers and stuff, because Mr. Claret, as much as he wants to come, he won't come for free. Any questions about what's happening at the court? Anything you want to ask about what's happening that I didn't touch on?
Not for me. Counsel?
No.
Anyone else?
No. Anybody from back behind me? Okay. Thank you so much
Thank
for your
you.
Time.
Thanks, Judge.
Thank you.
Any other visitors wish to address counsel this evening? All right, let's move on then to the first reading of ordinance this evening. So, would you please?
Correspondence.
Pardon?
Any correspondence?
Do I skip over that? I did. Yeah, we're going to, yes, right, because we have that topic. Correspondence this evening.
We have two pieces of correspondence. One is a note, the family of Smith Hinkle, thank you for your kind expression of sympathy from Will, Millie, and Joe. To all admin city council, thank you for the flowers. It is nice to see that some companies still care about their retired employees and current employees. We also have a piece of correspondence from the Department of Commerce, Division of Liquor Control. I did place a copy at each council member's seat. Dear local.
I can talk on this.
Sure, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
So we get these routinely for people renewing their licenses. Council will be aware that we're allowed to basically weigh in. It is not determinative. If you guys take a vote and say we don't want this to be a liquor license, we don't want to renew, it doesn't mean that it won't be. It just means it's one of the factors that the board, the Division of Liquor Control, will take into account. Now, they do tend to listen to municipalities if they have good reason for it. This one, and I just saw it. I did a little digging, so... From what I can tell, Clyde Hotel LLC and Lake Erie Hospitality LLC, which have the same address, I'm assuming, this is a guess, that one of them is the business that owns the property and the other one operates the hotel. This is the Red Roof Hotel. So they're applying for a D5A. Did some quick phone research. Luckily, our state puts out some pretty good guidelines. So, excuse me, the D5 liquor license is for full alcohol services where businesses can serve spirituous liquor, 21% ABV or higher, wine, beer, and mixed beverages. So it would be a full bar. It's not a beer only. They can serve from 5:30 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. And this is the license generally available to restaurants, nightclubs, bars, hotels, certain other establishments. So you have to be one of those. So I'm guessing here, but to my knowledge, they don't have a restaurant and haven't gotten a food license that we're aware of. That would go through the county, not us. But sounds like Red Roof wants to put a bar in. I don't know the nature of it. I don't know how they would do it logistically. I don't know if that's our concern. Your question that you are being asked is whether you want to voice your displeasure, voice your support, or simply say nothing. And you can do that however you'd like. You could send individual letters. You're all elected officials. You could take action by taking a vote and saying, we vote 4-1 that we're for this, or 3-2 we're against it, or what have you. Or we can all stay silent. But this is one of those times. It is a new one, not a renewal.
Hey, Beth, on the other side of that, so it says we must mark one of the following. We request a hearing or we do not request a hearing. So that's the part that I need to know on how to fill this form out and send it back in to them.
Yeah, so generally, this is 10 years for me. I got my award up here. We've never requested a hearing,
right,
to my knowledge, but I don't know that we've taken a vote either. We always just weigh in, and if no council member wants a hearing, we say no. In theory, if one council member wanted a hearing, I would check the box, and you could drive to Columbus and be heard. I don't think we need to take official action as a majority for that. So I would just, I guess, ask for council comments, Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Give an opportunity to council to weigh in on this. Mrs. Meek?
I have no questions on it. I'm okay with it.
Mr. Browning?
Same. I have nothing.
Mr. McMaster?
Yeah, if they're trying to do something that makes the hotel more attractive to customers and keeps the rooms full, I have no objection to that.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing further to add.
I'm one of those people that pay attention to our police log, and I read it every day. And every day, there's a call to that address. Multiple calls to that address. My thoughts are, do we need to add something more to create an environment that's going to need more calls? So, personally, I'm opposed to it. So, I don't know how our police department would weigh in on it, our police chief, but I'll defer to our city manager. What would your thoughts be?
Yeah, based on the police calls out there, I mean, that's first thing, just seeing it now, obviously I haven't had a time to talk to them to get their thoughts, so bear with me, I'll do that tomorrow, now that we've seen this. I mean, I had no idea this was coming, so yeah, there's definitely a volume of calls that happen out there, so I'm not sure.
Is this something we have to act on this evening?
Yeah, so you must, within 30 days from the mail date listed on the notice under the barcode, take action, but you can ask for one 30-day extension. And I don't know the mail date.
There's a response date.
There's no later than May 28th.
May 28th.
Yeah, so we'll be back at the next meeting. So I would just ask Jackie to put it under discussion of pending old business for next meeting and attach a letter to the agenda, and then we'll all know we can come back to it with more information. Because we do meet before then.
Okay, very good. And I would encourage council to look at the police log. Look back a couple weeks, see how many calls we're getting out to that address. Okay, thank you. Is that it for correspondence this evening?
Yes, it is. Thank
you. All right. Now let's move on then to ordinance this evening. So would you please assign a number and read the first ordinance.
Ordinance number 2026-39, an ordinance creating section 145.01 of the codified ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, to establish minimum and maximum age requirements for appointment to the position of police officer and declaring an emergency. Whereas the City of Clyde, Ohio, the city is a chartered home rule municipal corporation organized and existing under Article XVIII, which is 18, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution, with full authority to enact legislation governing the employment conditions of its municipal employees. And whereas the city maintains a police department, employs police officers who are subject to the city's civil service rules and the requirements of the Ohio Revised Code, including but not limited to the provisions of ORC Chapter 124 as made applicable to chartered municipalities that have adopted civil service standards. And whereas the current codified ordinances of the City of Clyde do not adequately specify the maximum age at which a person may be initially appointed to the position of police officer, creating potential ambiguity in the application of civil service hiring standards. And whereas the Council of the City of Clyde finds it to be in the best interest of the city, the police department, and the public to establish that candidates for initial appointment as a police officer must be at least 21 years of age and must not have attained the age of 45 years at the time of appointment, consistent with the city's home rule authority and applicable civil service guidelines. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1. Section 145.01 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio is hereby created to add or revise provisions governing age requirements for initial appointment to the position of police officer as set forth in attached Exhibit A, which is incorporated herein by reference. Section 2, all existing ordinances and resolutions or parts thereof inconsistent with the provisions of this ordinance are hereby repealed to the extent of such inconsistency. Section 3, this ordinance is hereby declared to be an emergency measure for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, and safety of the City of Clyde and shall take effect and be enforced immediately upon its passage and approval by the mayor or upon the expiration of the time for the mayor's approval or disapproval as provided by law.
Okay, this ordinance contained an emergency clause. I'd entertain a motion to suspend the rule preventing passage of an ordinance at a meeting at which it was first introduced, which is Section 4-5 of the Charter.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster.
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye. The rule has been suspended. Comments? Mr. LeBan.
I think the attachment is not within your packet, but it essentially outlines exactly what that says of setting ages from 21 to 45. We can send out the attachment just so you can review it. Again, it'll be codified. There is actually nothing codified. We've always followed the 21 to 35 range. We had an applicant that's pretty good quality, health, everything that's 42 years old. So this is widening that applicant pool to ensure good, qualified, skilled candidates for police officer.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mrs. Meek?
I have nothing.
Mr. Browning?
I have nothing.
Mr. McMaster?
I have nothing.
Mr. Shea?
I missed my opportunity to come back by 16 years.
You had a shot too.
I did. I was so close.
Absolutely going to take it seriously.
So close. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. My question on this: does this limit? At some point, we're going to be in the market for a new police chief. Okay. So does this limit that? Because I mean,
no.
The police chief is a police officer first.
It's 21 to 35.
Okay.
This is going out another 10 years up.
Okay.
And that's just for initial hiring. Once you're in, you're good.
Okay.
And police chief is a
administrative
at-will non-union position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
this is for classified
union officers. And the only one in the department this wouldn't apply to would be chief, though.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And
correct.
Our dispatchers are not peace officers, so they would not apply to them.
Right.
Okay. Thanks for clarity. Any other comments? Okay, then I will poll council just if you wish to have the second reading of all of the following emergency ordinance this evening by title only. Mrs. Meek?
Title only.
Mr. Browning?
Title only.
Mr. McMaster?
Title only.
Mr. Shea?
Title only.
And title only for myself. So would the clerk please read emergency ordinance 2026-39 by title only for its second reading.
Ordinance number 2026-39, an ordinance creating section 145.01 of the codified ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, to establish minimum and maximum age requirements for appointment to the position of police officer and declaring an emergency.
Okay, emergency ordinance 2026-39 has had its second reading by title only. Any additional comments, anyone? May I have a motion to adopt emergency ordinance 2026-39?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mrs. Meek. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye.
Councilman McMaster.
Aye.
The emergency ordinance 2026-39 has been adopted. Please assign a number and read the next resolution.
Ordinance number 2026-40. Repealing and replacing Chapter 951, Cemeteries, Chapter 955, Parks and Recreation Areas, and Chapter 959, Municipal Swimming Pool, of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde and declaring an emergency. Whereas recent changes to the organizational structure of the city's parks, recreation, and cemetery services require additional changes to various chapters of the city's codified ordinances so that said changes are reflected accurately within code and to ensure consistent operation and effectiveness of the departments. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, Chapter 951 Cemeteries, Chapter 955 Parks and Recreation Areas, and Chapter 959 Municipal Swimming Pool of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, are hereby repealed in their entirety. Section 2, Chapter 951 Cemeteries is hereby created as shown in the attached Exhibit A. Section 3, Chapter 955 Parks and Recreation Areas is hereby created as shown in the attached Exhibit B. Section 4, Chapter 959, Municipal Swimming Pool, is hereby created as shown in the attached Exhibit C. Section 2, this ordinance is hereby declared to be an emergency measure necessary for the immediate preservation of the health, welfare, and safety of the residents of the City of Clyde, Ohio, and the immediate adoption of this legislation will ensure the orderly administration of the city's day-to-day operations.
All right, this ordinance contained emergency clause. I'd entertain a motion to suspend a rule preventing passage of an ordinance at a meeting at which it was first introduced, which is Section 4-5 of the Charter. May I have a motion?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Point of order, Mayor, before we vote.
I'm sorry.
Is there supposed to be two Section 2s? Section 1, Section 2, Section 3, Section...
That'd be Section 5.
Section 1... There is two sections, yes. That should have been a Section 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I agree. I concur.
So we have a motion to adopt with the amendment of correcting the bottom section to Section 5.
So Section 5. Instead of a Section 2 at the last one, it's a Section 5. Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Mr. Shea and second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye.
Councilman McMaster.
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Okay. Comments on this, Mr. LeBent?
Well, so this was to pull the fees out, which is the next resolution that's on the agenda. As Joel from the cemetery had recommended, based on a lot of feedback for that. So removing that to ensure we don't have to always change codified ordinances every time we have to change fees, something we've been doing for the last year. Two, we made all those changes to parks and cemetery and recreation, and all the names and semantics needed to be changed in all of these chapters as well as other little minor wording cleanups and adding some policy to the municipal swimming pool on how we would address issues that we never really had set for, people getting kicked out, different things like that that have come up over the last few years.
Okay. Comments, Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I had a question in 951.05, purchasing of gravesite. The fact that the purchase needs to be made through the superintendent at the cemetery. The purchaser then needs to go to the finance department to pay for it, and then the purchaser needs to bring it up to the city manager for a deed. Couldn't that process be simplified with the superintendent?
Haven't figured it out yet. That's the same process we've been using. It is quite cumbersome for people. Not terribly, because sometimes, depending on situation, it's probably not as bad. Like, sometimes they originate here, sometimes there, sometimes it's when somebody's passed away, and we work on it, so it's probably a little more cumbersome to read it than it actually happens. But yes, a lot of times, because we don't do credit cards, they run across where they're bonded. We don't take a lot here, so... This isn't the only process like that, unfortunately. Something we'll clean up, hopefully, with your help one day. But yes, that is absolutely how it works, and it is government at its finest.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Shea.
I agree with Mr. LeBen. I went through this process last year, and it sounds a lot more complicated when you read it than actually going through with it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay.
So perhaps it could be amended in the future if we figure out a way to...
Yeah, and honestly, it would probably be amended in quite a few chapters. And some of it actually isn't even codified. This one actually was codified on the process. You actually get to read, but zoning's not actually that much different. Garage sale permits, there's a few different things. You go here, you pay there. It's super annoying, but there's something. That's why some of it's been moved to online services. We're just paying, it's easy. Somebody has to eat the credit card fee, though, which always adds disruption. But some of this, we haven't quite got the way of the kinks worked out on it.
Any questions, anyone? Any comments?
Can I add to that, though? Mr. McMaster, if there is a disability or someone who has a hard time coming over here, we do make accommodations and we'll take care of bringing it to Jackie for them. So it is going down to the cemetery, then the finance office, and if deemed that it's just too much at that point, we take care of that form in the finance department.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
And if I remember right, this actually used to go even with Mason Cemetery U. We've actually taken a step out of it, surprisingly.
Anything else? Okay, by a poll of council, they authorized the second reading of this emergency ordinance by title only. So would you please give the second reading of emergency ordinance 2026-40 with the amended section 5 by title only.
Ordinance number 2026-40, repealing and replacing chapter 951 cemeteries, chapter 955 parks and recreation areas, and chapter 959 municipal swimming pool of the codified ordinances of the City of Clyde and declaring an emergency.
Okay, you've heard the second reading of this ordinance. Any additional comments, anyone? May I have a motion to adopt emergency ordinance 2026-40?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Emergency Ordinance 2026-40 has been adopted. Moving on next to resolutions, please.
Resolution number 2026-41, updating and setting fees for Chapter 951 cemeteries of the codified ordinances of the City of Clyde, whereas cemetery service fees had not been reevaluated or updated since Ordinance 2003-21 was adopted on March 3, 2003, and whereas an evaluation of the cemetery fees compared to surrounding jurisdictions indicated a deficiency in charging appropriate amounts reflective of market conditions, now therefore be it ordained by the Council City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, the following fees levied for Chapter 951 cemeteries are hereby established and set forth into the master schedule of fees. Plot per site, $400. Opening and closing, $400. Ash burial, $200. Veteran spousal reserve, $100. Admin charge, $50. Overtime, weekend or holidays, $200. Foundations per square foot, wholesale cost times 2.5 with a $125 minimum.
All right, you've heard the reading of this resolution. Comments?
So Joel has been working on this for quite some time. He does have a comparable table I can send out to everybody if you'd like. He worked with all the funeral homes and people he normally works with to get our fees more in line, making sure we're not undercharging, so to speak, and subsidizing the actual burial of people, I guess, for lack of a better term. It also consolidates some of it from, there was a lot of six graves. There was no discounts. It was just a lot of additional noise that was kind of codified in there, things that we actually have never done, so we don't know why there was fees. We just lumped them in with the base charge of what we normally do, so that is it. And the wholesale cost is around $55, but he said, you know, every now and then they have had to change it, although it does seem to come in years. So, and again, most of that I think worked out to around $137 if it's bigger than our normal, but most often it's $125 minimum. But he said every now and then you'll get a little up, so he just charges a little more to make sure it's all taken care of.
Comments? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
As I look at this, this does not line up with what we've already have on the books, the entire section for infants through age 2, children through age 12.
That was stuff we never did. We've never even done any of that. He said nobody buys the half sites or.
So we'll see.
That's why it was eliminated. Something apparently we've never done, and usually we never initiated it. We've never, to his knowledge, we've even charged full price when it's been done before.
Okay.
Because we actually put them with somebody else or with a whole plot.
Okay.
So that, again, these are all him and I went back. He's been working on about a year, and he's like, we never did it.
Okay. Well, after 23 years. What did you get 23 years ago that hasn't gone up? Okay, so it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Any comments from anyone else? Okay. May I have a motion then to adopt resolution 2026-41?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Meek, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Mee?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-41 has been adopted. Okay. That's it for legislation this evening. There were no second reading of any ordinances, so administrative report.
All right. First, want to just say appreciation to all of our workers out there. It's this time of year, that's all kinds of rain, mowing, behind on everything, code complaints, brush pickup complaints, everything. Everybody's ready for everything all at once. Staff turnovers, training, all kinds of other stuff as we've added additional bodies and lost some. Want to give a special thank you to Clyde Light and Power, who worked with Impact Credit Union to make sure they didn't have to take an outage during the week. A pole was taken out by them. Scott Hicks had called and to get their service switched over. We were able to come in and handle some things on a weekend to ensure they did not have to get disrupted, as all the weather has caused many issues. And I know he has to pay his staff if they have to shut down, and whether we did the work or not. So they are running on a very short crew, but they were able to come in and get it done in a few hours, and appreciate them making those concessions to make that happen. To talk to on some of the Safe Built discussion we've had in the past, a Bellevue business owner who ran afoul of some things with Safe Built, and one of the biggest problems that she addressed to me was at some no point while she was moving into this building during a change of occupancy did anyone say that she had to get any plans and have anything designed or done or anything. So they came in to inspect a building that had absolutely no plans, and that did not go well for all of them. Still tracking other conversations down, hope to get one with Mr. Strecker here, get his take on that. But she did come over and we talked around a lot about that and how these things work for commercial buildings and how she could avoid that in the future. In our project pipeline, the Nature Trail, we're still waiting to hear back. I've heard some rumblings about the state funds and some for our bridge and what we're going to do down there. Additional private donors kind of shown itself into the mix as well. So again, hoping we get a decent award and we can wrap this project up this year, early next. Welcome Home Ohio with still no word on any of that. Turnpike, looks like the report will be coming sometime in June. The estimate roughly sounds like around $50 million in a phased approach. So, but we should have more of a report here in June outlining all that. And you probably all see it up there. You have your DORA applications, submitted by myself. Mr. Selby's reviewed it. Proposed boundaries, all that. We can begin reviewing the setting the newspaper advertisement next week, and then work on. I would request that we set a public hearing for just before the next council meeting, as required by the ORC to do it. And if all goes well from there, looks like probably the earliest it would be able to be approved, if that is the wishes, would be June 16th at a regular session meeting after we've met the public hearing and the advertisement criteria. And obviously look at the map, send me revisions, give me a call, anything like that. We've called a few of the entities around. Still going to talk to a few more just to make sure that all the participating establishments were good. Try to be respectful on the boundaries of not crossing by homes to the least extent possible, but including businesses that even if they are not participating, so to speak, could in the future put on their own events with a temporary permit or something like that and be able to serve and participate. As I remind everyone, this is single-use cup, 16-ounce only, all clear. They have to throw them away after. You can't bring them back into an establishment and get refills. So, again, like all other places that the Village of Oak Harbor has had good success, I know Fremont's has been fine. I have not heard a single bad thing, and we've had people asking more and more this year especially. So feel free to review it. Let me know questions. You can always give me a call, email, whatever. Happy to explain everything in there, but hopefully it's fairly straightforward, and we can always make little revisions if something on the map does not fit for somebody and go from there. That's all I have.
Thank you. Finance, Mr. Wiesner.
All right. Don't have a lot to report right now. Just wanted to let you know that Alicia, our new payroll clerk, has worked out really well. Things are going good there, and she's one to research and do the best she can to bring things even more efficiently than before. Also, I talked to you earlier about our standard operation procedures to be more in compliance with what the auditors wish for, and we have started those as well. I will have financials for you the next time, and that's really all I have right now.
Thank you, Frank. Council remarks this evening. Mrs. Neat.
I have nothing. I just want to say that the work on Woodland looks really nice. I like those curbs and stuff, so all those curbs around the city everywhere are looking very nice, so appreciate all the work even around the rain, and traffic's been flowing pretty good through there, so.
It's gotten better. Everybody's gotten used to it.
Yep.
Mr. Browning.
I have none.
Mr. McMaster.
I'd like to thank council and administration in my absence 2 weeks ago that I listened to, and the approval for my neighbors to continue to use their track. I think it's good for the kids, so appreciate that decision.
Mr. Shea.
Two things. I saw on Facebook earlier today, I believe that the Clyde Library is looking for a trustee, volunteer trustee.
Yes, they are.
Mr. Wiesner, you're still on the board over there?
That is correct, yes.
With
Marie Archer will be ending her tenure with the library.
Okay. Board. Would you like to take a couple seconds just to explain what that position entails?
Sure. Currently, I serve as the president of the Clyde Public Library board, and what it is, it's a once-a-month commitment, oversight of finances, and also gives the opportunity. We don't govern the day-to-day operations. However, we do have the opportunity to work with the library director, who in turn works with her staff, and just to provide the very best library that we can. I have to say we have a great staff. We have a phenomenal staff right now who's really stepping out into the community in various ways, not just how many of us grew up with the librarian who stood behind the desk and told us to be quiet. Not that that ever happened to me, but it is an opportunity. The procedure is you do apply through the library. We select a candidate, then it is approved through the Clyde Green Springs board, and then the person is put in place. So, yes, yes.
And it's a 4 or 5 year commitment?
A 4 year commitment.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And this would be a full 4 year because it is not coming in to fulfill a vacancy. It's a 4 year commitment.
There's always opportunities to volunteer in this community. I saw that this is one more area. So whoever's listening, if that sounds like something up your alley that you might be interested in, it sounds like a great way to contribute to our city. And of course, our boards and committees, we still have many boards and committees that need members, so there's always an opportunity. I believe the fire department probably could use a few more volunteer firefighters, so just always a great opportunity to volunteer, give back to the community. And one last thing, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit, but I want to give a shout-out to our city manager, Justin LeBenn. I had a resident on Limerick Road reach out to me. We all know, anybody who's been here long enough knows that the utility pole situation in the city is just very complicated and confusing and aggravating. And this homeowner had a pole that broke or somehow got broke and littered their backyard, and they had wires in their backyard, and they weren't able to get anywhere, getting anybody to take responsibility for it. So they reached out to me, which then I do what I do best. I reached out to Justin, and Justin pretty immediately made some phone calls. He knew the right people to call, and within the next day, it was all picked up and cleaned up and taken care of. So that, to me, that's how small town government's supposed to operate, and it's always great when it does operate like that. So thanks, Justin, for doing the heavy lifting on that. That's all I have. Thank you. Oh.
No, I said I made one call.
Yeah.
She had actually done a lot of legwork, so it was easy to go, all right, well, here's the third one that she just didn't have a number for. And she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot Frontier's in town.
She was very appreciative.
Yeah.
And it makes us look good that we can actually.
Well, it's a frustrating experience of all these polls. And
it is.
She had the poll claimed, but then they wouldn't actually remove the poll, even though the utility, the telco utility, was a dead service until she knew. Edison wouldn't touch it until all services were gone. So she's going down the chain of services, and she's like, I kept thinking it was Verizon or whatever. It was Frontier, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it worked out good. Worked out well.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Just a couple quick comments. You were mentioning about volunteers, and we are losing one of our highly respected volunteers from the fire department, and Eric Caudell. I'm not certain how many years Eric has served. 20 years. I was going to take that guess. I remember having him in school. But these firefighters are taxed quite heavily right now. What I mean is time. We are experiencing probably the highest rate of calls at any time in our history, daily, if not multiple daily calls. And that means that these firefighters drop what they're doing, regardless of what's going on in their home, and they're on the road doing what they do best. And I just want to say thank you to Eric. Thank you for your 20 years of service. Certainly understand how some of this wears on him at times. But so I'll leave a position open for someone else. Our fire department is incredible. So dedicated, and couldn't speak enough about what they do and how they go about doing it. So thank you, Eric, for doing that. And another quick comment today. I was coming down McPherson, and I see our environmental services crew out, and our superintendent was down in the hole. All right. Right there working with his crew. He's not immune to it. I love that kind of leadership where they get right in there and let's get it done. In the pouring rain and mud, not the most desirable thing to be doing. But
and sometimes we have to remind Johnny that he is the superintendent, and you don't have to go in the hole all the time anymore.
Him 100 times, but
sometimes
that's he
keeps
who he
jumping
is.
In there and forgets that.
Yep. But that's who he is, and that's a fantastic crew and led by a fantastic person. So, other than that. Any motions this evening? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. Okay, other than, I need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Okay. And second. And second. Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you all.